Hello again and welcome to Airtime. On today's program, we have Olympic Styles Director James Bilbey. Mr. Bilbey stepped into the shoes of Will Coakley, who vacated the position to become chairman of USAWKS, where he takes over for longtime chairman Mike Juby. Kids Nationals was contested last week. Schoolboy U16 and Junior Duels are in the books as well. So I thought it'd be a good time to catch up with Mr. Bilbey to talk about each event and let us know how the preparations are going for the granddaddy of them all, Fargo. With us on the line is USAWKS Olympic Styles Director James Bilbey. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Coach, for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. So you stepped into the demanding role of Olympic Styles Director. I hear the hours are long, but the pay is terrible. Let us know what is involved in that position.
From everything from working logistics, you know, to making sure our guys got, you know, apparel, guys and gals, putting coaching staffs together, trying to run camps, you know, all across the state, which I felt that we've done a pretty good job at that as far as rotating those opportunities around. Yeah, the nights are long, and COVID obviously didn't help us much as everybody's trying to get back into, that day-to-day type of grind. And, important to note, our membership is down about close to 40%. So COVID has taken its toll on our community, as we all know. But yeah, there's definitely lots of work to do, and we're trudging through it. So we're with that 40% decrease too. You know, some of that hits us financially. So we're kind of doing this on some baling twine and bubble gum, if you want to say. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, you mentioned COVID. So this is actually your second year, isn't that correct, in the position? But with COVID, essentially your first year, is that correct?
No, actually, I was still on the treasurer role. So Kurt Lang replaced me as a treasurer, and then Tyler Gonzalez was in this position for a year during the COVID year. So so me and Tyler, we work kind of hand in hand. He's our coach's development guy. He replaced Randy Hinterleiter. So me and Tyler, we kind of work back and forth on this. So we're kind of the dynamic duo, if you want to call it that. So we're on the phone probably 4 or 5 nights a week, working different things for our folks. It's kind of a 2-man job. There's one position here, but it definitely takes an army of folks to get the things done. And you know, we've got good collaboration with like Coach Grader up in Manhattan, and Joey Laser and Clint Slider out in Kansas City, and just a handful of folks. There's about 5 of us that are kind of trudging along, kind of doing this stuff. So very thankful of those guys' efforts.
Yes, absolutely. And it probably better makes the point that I was going to make, you know, saying that it was such an upheaval year that it wasn't like an indoctrination year. It was just such a totally different year. And given what you just said, it even makes it a little bit more complicated stepping into this role. So let's go ahead and get started starting with the Kids Nationals and work our way to Junior Duels. So what I'd like you to do is just give us the highlights. Let us know who compromised the coaching staff for each of the events. And again, starting with Kids Nationals. So they were held in Wisconsin Dells, and it looks like we had several Americans, including a champ or two. Fill us in on Kids Nationals.
Yeah, so Kids Nationals, the numbers were down a little bit due to back to our lovely COVID dilemma that we had going on. But I'll tell you that the talent was as good as it's probably ever been. So even though on the surface the numbers look down, the kids that are serious about wrestling from places from California to New Jersey, all over, I mean, they flew in. And so it was pretty tough, as we expected. We had a couple guys going in there that were folk-style national champs going back to April out of Iowa. So we had a couple guys on the hunt for the national Triple Crown. And as the dust settled, we actually did get a national Triple Crown winner by the name of Zane Winicky. He's an 800 guy out of Ottawa. His dad wrestled for the Navy, did some Greco stuff back when I was with the Air Force back about 20 years ago. So he wrestles for his father, Jay, and also for Travis Pippen, not that Lawrence elite, but he sealed the deal, and he was dominant. I don't even know if he gave up a point. I mean, he either teched or pinned everybody. So huge honor. That's our first Kansas National Triple Crown winner we've had since Quentin Saunders was a schoolboy. So you're talking probably 5 years ago. And so it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to do. We had a couple guys close. Mylon Colvin, who's out of Wichita, He got true second in freestyle. He got kind of stumbled in the semifinals in a match he was winning. And then he got third in Greco. Whitley Wilscam, who's out of Andover, he won both freestyle and Greco, much like Dane Winicky. But Folkstyle Nationals bit him. He got third up there. So he got third, one and one. So, I mean, he was very much in the hunt.
Oh.
Thunder Page was another one, another Andover / Rose Hill kid, I guess, in the process of moving. He won Folkstyle National Championship, but he was a double All-American up there in freestyle Greco getting fourth. So I think we took 18 kids up, or there's 18 Kansas kids up there this year. Typically, we've been in the high 20s. We were really hoping to crack that 30, but football and baseball is something that we always kind of run into, obviously, and then with it being COVID still kind of ongoing, kind of hurt our numbers a little bit. But Coach Kepley got a chance to go up there with us from Pratt Community College. He's made that trek to Adele's a couple times with me in Atlanta. And then we brought Cade Lindsay with us too, who wrestles down at OSU. So good opportunity for him. We've been working really hard, me and Tyler, as far as getting some of our younger guys, ex-wrestlers, involved and trying to grow our coaching staff, if that makes sense. So some of us get a little bit more seasoned and gray hair. So, and these young guys, they're awesome. You know, the kids listen to these guys because they're still doing it, and us dinosaurs aren't. So the kids are pretty receptive to these young guys. It's a good opportunity for them to get back to the state. As a lot of these guys were, these Fargo trips and stuff as kids. So,
sure. So, take us through, you mentioned some of the kids that were in that hunt for that Triple Crown. Who were the other All-Americans? Do you happen to have that list handy?
Some of our other All-Americans, on the Greco side. So there's two young men from Topeka that came up. So, Mason Rivera, he was an All-American in both styles. Out of Topeka Blue Thunder, and so is Tabor McBurney. His father, Travis, coaches that program up there in Topeka. So it's good to see that both those young men up there, double All-American. We had kids come up from Garden City, the Hill brothers, Braden and James Hill, and both those guys were All-Americans. Braden, the rich get richer. So Coach Prado, he's getting a 220-pounder that's going to complement Sebastian Lopez. We'll talk about him a little bit later, of course. But he's going to get another big guy that is lights out. He finished double All-American. He finished third in freestyle, and I believe he finished fourth in Greco. And he's a hammer. A couple more guys out of our area, Tyron Emerson, who's out of Derby. He finished seventh in Greco. He didn't place in freestyle, and that's kind of what we've seen with him. He was up there 2 years ago in All-American in Greco, so he's kind of going down that Greco route, which is good. My youngest son, I think he got seventh in Greco. He didn't place in freestyle. And then my middle son, he came off of a broken wrist from Heartland, and he looked every bit rusty, not getting any matches in, so we had to get a waiver in for him. And he did not place in Greco, but had a strong day in freestyle. He beat the Greco runner-up, which was good. And so getting only seven matches in the last 2 years of COVID, I mean, we'll take what we can get. And then another big guy, Maxwell Robinson, who's also out of Derby. He was a double All-American. He finished fifth and seventh in Greco and freestyle, respectively. So as far as that goes, I mean, I think our guys did what they were supposed to do. We came home with a couple national championships, which is always pretty cool to support the kids and for their programs. It's just like always, we want to get more of those guys up there because that placement really helps feed into our schoolboy and cadet duels. So if those guys place there, they're worth some seeding separation criteria points for our teams, and that helps us kind of get away from the, the Team Ohio's or California's in round one of a pool. So we strongly encourage guys to go. That event will be moving next year. The bid process is open. Talking with Will over the last couple of years and with Mike Juby, we're gonna try to make a push to get another marquee event here in Kansas. So we're looking at putting in a bid later this summer after Fargo for Kids Nationals or hopefully for Cadet Duels is our plan.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, so moving on to schoolboy duels. Actually, schoolboy duels and U16 were held at the same time in Indiana, different places. But The Schoolboy Jewels were in Franklin, Indiana. Tell us how the team performed there.
The team performed pretty well. So Tyler Gonzalez took a letter schoolboy contingent, and he brought a mix of some guys that have been around for a while, which is good. So Scott Reek, who's out in Girard, Kansas now, he used to be in Pittsburgh. We got Scott back in the mix after a little bit of hiatus. His son wrestles now, which is pretty cool. And Josh Feinstein out of Hayes also went. And then we had three young guys go, and Sammy Coakley, who's been on some trips before. Keegan Slider and then Jared Sema. And so got a mix of some guys have been around and then get some of those young guys in there. Overall, I thought our guys did well. We finished our Kansas Red team finished 4-4 in Greco, and then in freestyle we got a little bit better as we went 5-3. And we had two All-Americans on the freestyle side, Maxwell Robinson out of Derby, who I just said double All-American. And then also Cooper Reeves, who's out of McPherson, Kansas. He also went undefeated. A younger crew. We had a lot of sixth graders, a lot of guys that have that fall birthday before that January cutoff. So a younger squad of guys, and once again with the COVID, it kind of hurt our teams. Our blue team was a little light on the roster side, but Tyler did a good job. We kind of went about every corner of the state looking for guys, even if they weren't at Freestyle Greco State, to see if they wanted a chance to go and go up there and attend. So there was some concerns with the COVID stuff. Our guys had to ride with masks the whole way there on the bus and ride with masks back. And so even as the general populace knows that there's no COVID restrictions in a lot of our states, and the logistics of travel still, there's still a lot of implications to do that. So there were challenges. We almost had to get all of our guys a COVID test, within 72 hours before they left. Thank the Lord that cooler heads prevailed at USA Wrestling. Me and Will kind of fought that head on, and so yeah. But a lot of different things were thrown in our direction. I would say distractors with COVID.
All right, well, let's move on to U16 Duels, formerly Cadet. They just kind of changed the name there. So U16 Duels were held in Westfield, Indiana, at the same time as the Schoolboy Duels. How did Team Kansas fare there?
We fared okay. Greco was a little bit rougher. We went 3-4, and so Chaz Thompson out at Labette County now. He was our team leader, and he took kind of the same mix of some of our younger guys and older guys. So he took Elsie Davis with him from Pittsburgh, Kyle Klein, who's head coach out at Bishop Carroll, Connor Pinka, who's here in the Derby area, Joey Hancock, who wrestled on those teams a couple years ago, and then Aiden Campbell out of Arkansas, Little Rock. We started out 3-4, but we had two guys that really kind of definitely caught the attention of definitely some coaches. On June 15th, their phones were blowing up with phone calls, and that was Nick Treister and Sebastian Lopez. Both those men went undefeated. Nick, of course, he's out of Newton, younger brother of Logan and Grant, and then Sebastian, he's the big guy out of Garden City. And then freestyle wise, our guys did really good. We went 5-2, had a lot better showing. We had like six or seven guys that lost a match. One that Coach Thompson, those guys really raved about, was this Harley Zimmerman out of Hayes, who doesn't have a lot of freestyle Greco experience, but he's up there training with the Hoxie guys, Mike Porsche, and then training with some Portega guys. And he had an excellent tournament. Maddox Casala out of Mill Valley had an excellent tournament. Tucker Sell out of Abilene, state champion this year, had an excellent tournament. So there was a lot of those guys that really kind of got things going on the freestyle side. And a lot of these guys are young too. So some of these guys, a good bunch of them will be on that cadet team. And that's kind of the theme that we saw, was a lot of our guys on these different age group teams are on the younger aspect. So a lot of these guys will be top end the following year. Sebastian Lopez, though, he's the real deal. And both him and Nick, they both went down to junior duels as well and competed at a real high level. So it's kind of cool for our guys too, because they all took off from Topeka. And usually, as you know, cadets was kind of bounced around the country from Spokane to Daytona Beach to York, Pennsylvania. And so it's kind of cool having these guys in the same metroplex. So I know the Johnson family from Paola, Ryan, he was able to go watch McCoy, his 16U son, and then drive down 30 minutes later and catch some of Brock Johnson's matches down with the schoolboy guys. So kind of convenient for some of those parents that got kids that are in the multi age group. So that was kind of neat for them to be able to do that.
Sure, sure. All right, let's change the focus now to Tulsa, which was, again, the site for Junior Duels. It has been for a few years now. How did the team perform there, and who stood out individually?
So Coach Grader, Danny Grader out of Manhattan, with Clint Slaughter out of Latham North, and then Ken Kepley, and then Logan Truster, who just graduated from the Naval Academy. Those guys went down there and led the charge. So we only took one team, so it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past. And what we tried to do was, not get guys hurt and try to put guys that were specific to one style where they excelled, whether it was Greco or freestyle, keeping these guys fresh. So overall, they went 13-5, which is very interesting because on the Greco side, they kind of had a tough go on the Greco side. And they ended up finishing 13th. But what was interesting was Missouri finished 12th, and I think they won one Greco match. So, so I think the thing to take away from that is that even though they were in a different pool, they got more matches and good matches. And those guys, they got better as the day went on. So they had a real good duel with Nebraska, which was great to beat those guys. They ended up beating Missouri in freestyle, which is always a good thing. So I think we beat the guys that we were supposed to beat. I know talking to the coaches, they were a little frustrated with the North Dakota duel. They felt they could have beat them. And if one or two guys could have scored a point in some of those ticks, they probably could have. But North Dakota is obviously a pretty tough state, much like we are. So, but the guys that stood out, though, on the Greco side was Dylan Elmore out of St. Thomas Aquinas, and then his teammate, Jared Sima. Both those guys went undefeated and did very well and looked good. And then on the freestyle side, Damian Mendez out of Dodge City, he went undefeated. Interesting enough, with Treister and Lopez going down there, both those guys only lost a couple matches. So for both those guys to go undefeated in both styles at the 16U duels, and then literally getting home a day later and then having to get back down to weight, specifically with Nick, they did awesome and battled. And it's kind of interesting. Lopez wrestled the number one heavyweight in the country from Georgia. And talking to Clint and Danny, it took the Georgia guy all 6 minutes to put Sebastian away. And at the end, he asked Sebastian, he goes, "Hey, how old are you?" And Sebastian's like, "Well, I'm gonna be a sophomore." And that kid was like, "Man, you're gonna be really good if you're that young." So,
well, that the Horn kid from Georgia, right? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Number one guy.
Huh.
And so Lopez went toe to toe. And so that's the thing with Lopez. I'll say this, with his folks. I talked to his father, Jimmy, quite a bit, and I remember the first time I saw him was down at Tulsa Kickoff. When he was an eighth grader, and he was a full grown man then. I was like, "Holy cow, like, where did this guy come from? He's a monster." And just started a relationship with those guys, and Danny and Clint have developed a very good relationship, and Ken Kepley. And so, he's been getting workouts in Ulysses. He's been getting workouts in, with Tate Lowe out in Dodge, and with Coach Kepley out in Pratt. And so we kind of look at it as like, the guy's only going to be a sophomore. So the more we kind of put into Sebastian, we're not even scratching the surface probably on how tough this guy could be. So I think, it kind of goes back to the point of these teams being younger. Sebastian's going to be in that junior dual team for another 3 years, potentially two for sure, and maybe three if he does it his senior year. So, if he's wrestling the number one guy in the country and getting those kind of compliments from him, that kind of gives you an idea of what's to come, I think. Another guy I'd point out is Easton Taylor. Easton Taylor filled in for Bubba Wright on very short notice. I'm talking like a 1 or 2 day notice. Bubba Wright out of Cape and injured his hip pretty good. He cracked his hip.
Oh.
And he's on crutches. And Easton got a 1-2 day notice, got down to weight, and went down there and actually wrestled really well. I believe he went 5-3, I think, over the weekend, makeshift time and at a couple different weights. But for him to do that was pretty clutch for the team to fill in for a guy that got injured. And then on our women's side, we did send a women's dual team down there, a makeshift team led by Jason Storm, also out of Labette County, with Aaron Meister out of Friends University as our new head coach, and then Mike Porsche. And those gals went, they went 5-2. And they wrestled really tough. And that was with a couple open weights. If we could have got those weights filled, I think our ladies team could have did really good. And Maddie Gray, who's out of Lawrence, she went undefeated. And then Darby Wydell out of Ottawa, who's pretty tough and I think opened some eyes, she went undefeated as well. So the ladies team, I was very impressed with. Good group of gals. And the coaching staff did awesome. Marissa Porsche, Mike's daughter, her last match, she broke her collarbone, unfortunately, but she was also undefeated at the time. And she had an excellent weekend. So very good showing by our women's team as well.
So the calendar has flipped to July, which means Fargo is on the horizon. Fargo Prep Camp is next week at Fort Hays State University, and competition will begin the following week. Give us a sense of what the priorities will be for camp, and who should we expect to keep an eye on as we follow the progress of Team Kansas?
Yeah, so we're going to go out to Fort Hays. As we've done in the past, we've rotated this this camp around the state. You know, we've been up at Baker. We were at Central Christian, I think, in 2019. And the intent, what we're doing this year is we're trying to give these guys a couple day break before we get on the bus. So we're going to focus very much on some very technical things that we can get right. But what we want to do is we want to make sure our guys are fresh. A lot of these guys at this day and age, they want to do their weight management kind of on their own, by doing what I would call mandatory fun. That's what we call the military. So, you know, some of these guys are sauna guys, you know, they're runners, you know, and, you know, having to stress about your weight while you're in a camp kind of makes it a little bit more difficult. And so the kids these days, they like to kind of do that on their own. So obviously defense is a big one, you know, gut defense and leg lace defense. A lot of the different clinics we've ran this year, we've been working some stuff out of a quad pod, how to score and how to defend out of there. Selling a gut wrench and then coming to a leg lace. So those will be our primary focus points. And then we're going to do a team bonding thing, hopefully get into the pool a little bit. So, and just kind of relax before those guys go back home on the 11th. And then on the 15th, we'll depart out of Topeka and we'll go up to Fargo. Some of the guys that I think that we're expecting to do well, obviously, is Truster and Lopez. I mean, I think both those guys can compete, not just to be on the podium, but maybe to reach the top of the podium. I mean, that's what they're working for. Jared Sima, he's out at UNI. We expect him to have a monster weekend. You know, he's a double All-American in 2019. Dylan Elmore, he finished fourth back at UWW Cadets in Greco and then went undefeated at Junior Duels. So Dylan's a guy who's been tough. He's a former, for what it's worth, I think he was a kids national champion in Greco, maybe second in freestyle back in Atlanta, maybe 2017 or so. So Dylan's a, you know, well-seasoned kind of guy. Damian Mendez, he's been a double All-American in cadets, so I can see him doing well. A guy that's kind of under the radar a little bit, and he's been banged up, but he's still training, is Elias Craig, who's out of Valley Center. He wrestled Mendez at our state freestyle Greco tournament and looked good. He, I think he kept Damian both matches. So he's a guy that's working really hard. He's been down training with Eric Guerrero for the last 2-3 weeks. And so I think he's a guy specifically in Greco that can reach the highest points and on that podium. And so he's open to win it. That's his intent. That's what he said. And it'll be very interesting to see, but that's a guy that's kind of under the radar that I don't know if many folks are tracking. But St. Cloud State, I mean, they're one of the best D2 teams in the country, so I expect him to do well there. But those are some of the guys that another one, too. He didn't go to Junior Duels. He's a little banged up, too, is Blake Jarrett. Blake Jarrett out of Olathe South. He went to UWW cadets, and he placed seventh. But on the way to making the podium, he beat this Oklahoma guy who's pretty tough by the name of Peyton Robb. Peyton Robb had beaten Tate Piccolo out of Oklahoma twice this year. So a huge win. And so I know he's definitely getting some phone calls. But Blake Jarrett is a guy that I believe on the freestyle side that can go really deep in those brackets as well.
All right. So tell us who will comprise the staff for Fargo.
Well, Fargo, we're still working through that a little bit because a lot of it's kind of based on numbers. But we've got a pretty good handle. So myself, of course, I'll be going up. And Will Coakley. Obviously, Mike Juby will be up there. And then Kurt Lang, our treasurer, is going to go. But on the coaching side, too, we're looking at bringing up Tyler Gonzalez out of Junction. Ken Kepley out of Pratt Community. Clint Slider and Danny Grader, those guys have been up there for a long time. We're going to bring Sammy Coakley out of Indiana University and Zach Pogue out of Cape in here. And then a couple of new faces, Jerry Laser, who used to coach over at St. Thomas Aquinas. I believe he's heading to Mill Valley. So Jerry's going to go there. He's a former top 10 senior level guy, All-American up at UNI. And then Eric Wentz out of Fort Hays State, the new head coach. And he's going to bring his trainer along with. And then we're hoping to get one of the Porsches, either Mike or Tristan. I got to kind of confirm who can get off the tractor and come. But Mike was saying one of them probably be in. And then I think we're going to bring Connor Fitzgerald and most likely Dap to Asia. I got to get a hold of Dap. I missed our telecom last week, but Dap's been in before. And we might be able to bring a young guy or two developmental purposes, but we're trying to work through that still as we're finalizing our lineup for Fargo. So kind of a good mix of a lot of the folks that have been there in previous years, and then trying to get some new folks kind of integrated with Laser moving into town, and then Coach Wentz moving into town as well, and get those guys included.
All right, so we've been visiting with James Bilby, Olympic Styles Director for Team Kansas. Thanks for coming on. On behalf of the Kansas wrestling community, we wish you and the competitors all the best.
Hey, thanks a lot, Coach. We really appreciate it.